First of all, thank you very much for coming. It's always fun to see so many different faces with so many different aspects of research. As I said, I'm Christopher. I'm a research assistant for Dr. Chamou. I'm here with my colleague, Karel Belleville, who is the other research assistant involved in this project. First of all, before I get into any of the details, I just wanted to thank McGill, of course, for funding this project. It would not have been possible without it, of course. So I wanted to jump into the particulars, of course, of this project. As you all know, Canada, of course, has two official languages, which means that there are pockets of official language minorities, namely the Anglophones in Quebec and Francophones in other provinces and territories. More specifically, the Eastern Townships has about 40,000 Anglophones, which is a very good chunk of the Anglophone population. And what we're seeing in this population is a little bit different demographically than some of the other English-speaking minorities, in the sense that they're older, they're more isolated because of geographics, they tend to have a lower level of education, they have lower income, they have a lower level of employment, and most importantly, they are more at risk of health problems. So what does that mean? You know, when we're looking at mental health services, when you want to access services for mental health, you want them in your mother tongue. You want them in the language that you are most comfortable speaking. Now, why do you want this? Of course, you know, it's difficult enough to talk about mental health issues in your mother tongue, never mind doing it in a second language. Not to mention the fact that, you know, linguistic problems lead to, you know, misunderstandings with respect to diagnoses and recommendations. It affects compliance to treatment options, to staying with appointments. Another aspect is trust. I mean, it's very difficult to establish a trust relationship between a healthcare practitioner and a patient if there are linguistic barriers coming into play there. So basically, I wanted to just give you guys a little bit of graphic representation of this. The users in our particular area, in Eastern Townships, are generally unsatisfied with the services that are offered. So they're either unsatisfied with the quality, they're unsatisfied with the quantity, or they're just not using them. Now, that being said, we're getting the opposite impression from institutions. Institutions are saying that the quality of their services, the quantity of their services, are more than adequate. So, of course, there's a disconnect there. Now, to add on top of that, you have health professionals who are caught in the middle. You know, health professionals, as a general rule, want to provide good services, regardless of language. You know, whether you speak English, French, Japanese, Swahili, you want good quality services, and you want to be able to offer that. So what this project does is it complicates, it creates complications for healthcare professionals, because Anglophones are coming in with perception problems. They're coming in with experiences where they've tried to access services and haven't been able to. They're trying to avoid them because they don't want to try and access them, or they don't feel they can access them, or they don't know they're available. I mean, how do you try and access a service if you don't even think it's available? Now, what happens is health professionals, like I said, are caught in the middle, right? You have Anglophones who are coming in like this. You have the institutions who are saying that these services are already offered. So health professionals, they're frustrated. It makes their jobs much more complicated. If you try and provide services, but, you know, for example, you have somebody who's there to serve the English-speaking population, but you have one person on staff who's scheduled to do that, and you have an influx of people coming in who are Anglophones or who want English services, you tend to have a heavier workload. You know, they don't know where to refer people. You know, if they don't offer the services at that particular institution or place, where do you go, right? And health professionals are lacking a little bit in that respect as well. So the goals of this project, of course, the main goal is to improve relationships between the English-speaking users and the health practitioners. So how are we going to do that? We're going to inform users about what resources are available. So that is key. It is key that this awareness exists. What's one of the ways that we can do that? We can provide this information to practitioners. And the practitioners can then distribute that information to the people coming in that need help. And of course, because this is somewhat of a pre-post-test project, there will of course be an evaluation of the tools that we're putting in place to see whether they work. So methods. Simply put, we have a survey of resources that are available to English-speaking users. That will then lead to a brochure and a call center where that information can then be distributed. The brochure and call center will then be presented to health professionals as a means of distributing this information to users. And then 6 months later, there will be an evaluation of the call center as well as an evaluation of the satisfaction for health professionals. So results. As of now, the institutions have all been contacted in the Eastern Townships who provide mental health services in general, both in English and French. We have specifically focused on those who provide English services, and we've made an extensive list of those particular providers. At the same time, we also have the research team who is sitting on several different boards, several different committees, who basically have to do with access to healthcare in general, but also specifically to access to mental health care. The key aspect recently is that we've finally gotten authorization to interview the healthcare professionals. That's what we've been waiting for. You know, it's taken about a year to get that approval. Now that we have it, we can actually proceed. Also, a point of mention is that there's also been a telephone line in place, which is, has been acting sort of as the call center since June 2011. That particular center is a number that people can call to access another project, but that people have also called to get information about service availability. How do I get a family doctor? Where do I get this service? Where do I get that service? So that has also been used for that as well. But the key is that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in this particular aspect. The call center, like I said, is in place, but what needs to happen is there needs to be more advertisement, which is what's going to happen this summer. Once we interview the health professionals and we get their perspective on the matter, we will then distribute a brochure which has all of these services regrouped into one conglomeration of services, so easy to use. They will be distributed to health professionals who can then distribute them to users as necessary. Furthermore, that will basically be the pre-assessment, will be the interview. The brochure is the tool. So once the brochure is handed out, 6 months later, we will then go back and talk to the health professionals again to get an idea of satisfaction, to get an idea of what it's changed, whether it's worked, whether it hasn't. So the plan is to have the pre-assessment done by July 2012, and then to have the post-assessment being the second interview done by December 2012. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for staying within time. This is a great example of the type of applied research that is being done in the project that we're financing right now. I understand Christopher is an undergrad at the moment. You graduated now? Still an impressive, still a good job by a very young guy. Okay, so now we have, okay, so yeah, but